we have a special guest with us, and she joined us almost a year ago, over a year ago, so I'm really appreciative that she's on our show again, and she is Janet Hall, feng shui practitioner, organizer, and many more things. So welcome, Janet.
Thank you, Emmy. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for being on the show, and thank you for being patient, listeners, and Janet, and we're a little late on the show, but that's fine, and I'm really happy that you're on the show. So what's happening with you, Janet? It's a new year, and Happy New Year, folks.
Thank you. Happy New Year to the listeners also. Well, what's going on with me is I'm very excited about, I've been working on a book for quite a while now called Sober from Clutter. And I pick it up and I put it down and I'm finally doing my first edit. And it's going to include not just getting organized, but it's going to look at some of the emotional aspects that go along with when you're trying to, well, when you are decluttering or getting organized, because a lot of emotional things go on with that, and we can deal with that through energy work. And, getting organized and stuff is all about energy work. So that's what I'm working on. I'm excited about that, the first edit of Sober from Clutter, and hopefully that will be available sometime this year to the public.
So I know you have a lot of programs on your internet website, and which is www.overhall.com, is that correct?
Yes, that's overhall.com. Because it's a play on my last name. People think I spell Overhaul incorrectly.
What do you mean, Overhaul?
Well, Overhaul is generally spelled O-V-E-R-H-A-U-L, Overhaul something.
So God, all this time I was kind of, I never thought about that.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible when I go and get in the newspapers, they correct the spelling, and then nobody can get to my website. So it's a play on my last name. I overhaul people's lives.
it's a very ingenious name, and I know you have a lot of things on the website. Can you tell me what kind of things you offer? I see you as a master marketer in a lot of ways.
Sure, thank you. Well, what I started out as just a professional organizer, and I've added over the last 11 to 12 years, I've added other things to my business because I find that either I need it or, more importantly, my clients need it. And so I got interested in feng shui, and I've added that to my portfolio. And then I thought the missing leg for a lot of my clients was energy. They didn't have the health or the energy. And so now I have a program where I take everybody through the beginning of, let's get healthy, let's get our energies working and moving correctly. Let's be able to get off the couch so we can do the work, so we can live the life that we want to live. And we work with time management and being in the now, the power of now. I love that book by Eckhart Tolle. And we work on being in the now, and we have some fun doing treasure mapping and dream books and decluttering and space clearing and feng shui. So we put it all together, and each program builds on the other one, until you get to the ultimate last stage, and that would be feng shuiing your space. And I found that the program works very well with a lot of people because they do build on each other, and it does give them the direction and the energy that they need to do the work that they want to do so they can go out and have fun and be successful.
Well, Jen, I know before this interview we were talking about how we were going to talk about this interview, and we were going to talk about what you're doing as well as sprinkle some tidbits. And so since you do a variety of things, let's kind of set the pace here as far as kind of clarifying to our listeners, what is the difference between clutter versus being tidy versus being organized versus feng shui? I mean, you have seen a lot of those different layers yourself, having been certified, you are a certified feng shui practitioner and you're an organizer. So what are the different layers? What's the difference between all those things?
Well, that's really going to be in the eyes of the beholder. But for the general public, tidiness sometimes is just like, oh, we're having company. Let me throw this in the closet. Let me throw this downstairs. Let me stuff this in a drawer. They're tidying up. They don't really have homes for the stuff, or they might have homes for the stuff, but they don't have time to put it where it belongs. So they end up tidying up. cluttered, you know, a collection of three things could be cluttered to one person, and then to another person, you walk in their house and you're walking through tunnels because of all the clutter. We've seen this on Oprah and Dr. Phil and other television shows of hoarders. A hoarder is a completely different species, so to speak. And organized is different for each individual lifestyle, but being organized to me is being able to make decisions on what you need in your space and being able to locate it when it's needed or to find it, and also being able to make decisions and not being fearful of what you let go of in your life or you keep in your life. In feng shui, we look at clutter as one of the number one enemies of feng shui. It's difficult to feng shui a person's home without getting rid of, or office, without getting rid of the clutter first. So we look at how we can set up a system for that particular household or office and that person's lifestyle. There shouldn't be, and I don't use a cookie cutter for everyone because everyone is different. And so we have to really evaluate what's clutter to them, what's organized to them, and what's tidiness to them. And then we set up and help them set up something that will work for them.
Now, so you did talk about those things just right now. And so decluttering and organizing is different.
Well, not really, because some people might have so many piles of things that you have to declutter would be sorting. You got to sort through your stuff, make decisions what you're going to keep, what you're going to toss, what you're going to recycle, what you might sell, what you might give away, etc. And so that's decluttering and sorting. And then once you have an inventory, so to speak, of what you're going to keep, then we make decisions on how it's going to be organized or kept in the home or office, where it's going to live.
Mm-hmm. So tell me in regards to those four things, decluttering and organizing and feng shui, what kind of programs you have in relationship to all of those three things?
Oh, wow. I have lots of programs for feng shui and decluttering.
Okay, let's start with feng shui.
Okay, feng shui, I do an introduction to feng shui. To let people know what it is, it can get kind of confusing when you go to the bookstore, you go on the internet. There are different schools of feng shui. And so you have to look and see what kind of belief do you have, because that's really what it comes down to, is your belief system of do you believe in astrology, then you might want to go with a particular feng shui school. If you believe in the science, that's what Pyramid Feng Shui School is all about, is the science and the biology of space and our person. So whatever your belief is and what speaks to you, you might want to go with that particular feng shui school. So in my intro to feng shui, I teach about the different schools and concepts, how they got started and things like that, and, you know, how it's the different myths. You know, there's a belief, some people believe it's a religion, it's not a religion, you know, things like that. So it's just a little basic class of introducing them to feng shui. And then I go into some more advanced classes in feng shui, as, you know, feng shui in your office to get more clients or money. And that, of course, includes decluttering and organizing. In clutter, one of my newest programs for organization and clutter is called The Art of Organization. I do one for the home and one for the office. And it's really looking at the attitude, what your attitudes and your beliefs are about your stuff and about your space, how you can release and let go. And the T is for, you know, the time that it takes to work on yourself and your space, and where are you going to find that time, and then how to tackle all of the clutter. So that's one of my newest programs that I'm excited about. And I do deliver some of these at our local colleges in my state, and that one has gotten rave reviews because a lot of people don't think about their attitude or their beliefs that might be holding them back or keeping them stuck in holding on to all of the stuff in their life that they might not have a need for.
What is one example that bowled over it that they would even think that they would have that thought?
A lot of people inherit stuff from their parents or grandparents, and they think they have to hold on to that stuff forever. No matter what it is. It could be all their furniture, and I mean, I've been in places where you can't even walk in the basement because they've got the furniture piled so high. Nobody's using it. Nobody wants it. But they have this fear of letting it go. They feel like they are the keepers of the stuff, and, you know, their belief is that you keep it. Whereas, you know, we look at those belief systems and we work on the belief systems that it's okay to let go. It's okay to sell it. It's okay to release it. And this is very, very important, and this is where a lot of people get stuck emotionally on dealing with the stuff in their life. I mean, there's all kinds of emotions that can block you from releasing, letting go, getting organized. Anger, pain, frustration.
That sounds like an amazing topic.
And yes.
So we're here with Janet Hall, a feng shui consultant as well as organizer. And her website is www.overhall.com, OVERHALL.com. I'm Emmy Louie, and we'll be back. Welcome back. I am Emmy Louie, and we have a great guest today, Janet Hall, and she's a feng shui consultant. Organizer, and we were last talking about the amazing part about organization and decluttering and about inheriting things from your parents, and continue on, and Janet.
Well, what happens is a lot of people nowadays, especially, they move their parents in, and then their parents leave Earth, and they're all their stuff is still here, and they're not sure what to do with it. Will Johnny need it when he goes to college? Will Susie need it when she buys a new house? Well, does Johnny and Susie even want the stuff? You know, that's the first question we've got to find out. You know, I've had clients that save their children's, you know, toys and all the stuff that they grew up with, thinking that the child will want it when they have children. And I say, well, is your child married? Is your child going to have children? Let's ask them if they want this stuff. And we get on the phone and call them up. And sometimes, most of the time, it's no, I didn't even know you still had that stuff. But people have that fear of letting things go, especially if it's got value to it. And I always say, if it's got value to it, let's sell it. Get some money and give it to someone that can really love it and use it instead of it being stuck in the attic or in a basement that nobody's wanting or using, and it's causing you pain. It's causing you chaos. It's causing you overwhelm. It's emotionally draining to walk downstairs or try to go in the attic because of all of your family's stuff that you've inherited, and you don't have a clue what to do with it. And for that, matter of fact, you don't even know where to start.
And so your classes addresses all these issues about how people can deal with these things.
Yes, one of the things I do is, actually it's somewhere on my website, I have a thing called 7 magical permission slips to give you permission to let go of your things. And it's kind of comical, but it's fun too. But it really, a lot of people just need permission that, hey, it's okay to let this go. One thing I also teach in my senior classes is seniors, I teach them, if they have something in their possession that they know that they're going to give to someone in their will, leave it to them in their will, why not give it to them now so you can see them enjoying it? You can go visit whatever the item is if you want. Some of the items have to be insured. That costs extra money for a senior. Hey, give it to the person that really admires it, really loves it. You can see their joy in receiving it now. You can also give them a history, if there's any history behind the item or story, and why it's so valuable to you. and let them worry about the insurance and stuff, and you go visit the item. That's one thing that I teach the seniors, of letting go of some of their things that they know they're, you know, they can't take it with them, you know.
Well, Janet, that sounds like an absolutely sensitive topic, because it does talk about mortality, and and I do feel that we do need to talk about those things when we are alive. That's a really good time to talk about it.
Yeah, that's the only time you can.
Unless you watch John Edward, right? And then you'll have like a channeling session. Well, get rid of that piece of furniture now.
Yeah.
I wish you can get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Emmy, one thing I have found also is photo albums. Photo albums. Even my own children, I inherited my grandmother's photo albums. I know all the people in the albums. My children don't have a clue who these people are, because they've already left Earth. And so they're like, well, what are we going to do with these photo albums when you're gone, Mom? And, you know, it's really our family history. But
well, you know where
it
goes? It goes in Maggiano's, those restaurants.
Yeah.
If there's those Italian restaurants, and then you
right.
get into the restaurants, and you're like, who are these people on the walls?
Right,
come from somewhere, right?
Right, exactly.
But so your classes do talk about those very touchy subjects. That sounds
yes.
like you can work on that thing for a lifetime and more. To talk about these things that are that are almost like a will in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anything else about that? Before we move on to our next subject about childhood upbringing?
I would just say, you know, find your comfort zone. If you need help, ask for help. But find your comfort zone of what you're willing to let go of. Sometimes it takes a while. I've had clients that won't give up anything, and that's not what I'm really there to do anyways, to make them give up things, but to make them look at why they're keeping the things. And sometimes they're not willing to even look at that, but maybe 6 months to a year later they're calling and go, okay, I'm ready. So the person really has to be ready to help themselves or to get help with other people.
And I do want to say, listeners, that Janet Hall is a fabulous speaker. I've seen her speak, and not only is she very informative, she makes you feel very comfortable. Janet, you make us feel very comfortable, and you're very entertaining. And so it's worth hiring and having Janet Hall speak at any of your engagements, whether it's a small one or a very large one. I think it's great. And so the next thing is that I had some just general questions about organizing, and somehow this is actually, this theme today is really about the different ages of organizing, like how we progress as far as organizing, and whether we're a child, we're an adult, and we're in seniors. So tell me, the next question is, how does childhood upbringing affect one's organizational skills? Because when we do something, or usually I would think a lot of people refer to how they were brought up, and they bring that to their adult lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have a client, God love her to death, that has three homes that we're working on decluttering, and her whole family are hoarders. Every single family. It goes even over to the nieces and nephews, and it's because they were brought up around this, and it became a habit. It became a lifestyle. It's the way they live. They don't know any different. And if they do, they're not sure how to get out of it. And so one of the adults is working on leading the way by working with me and helping her declutter not one, not two, but three of her homes. So she bought a home because she had so much stuff, and then she inherited a home. And so, you know, her stuff just keeps piling up and piling up. So we're working on that. And she also has to work with a psychologist at the same time, because this is a little deeper than just getting organized. But those childhood skills, organizational skills, just like education, you know, they say between the ages of birth and five that we absorb so much, and that we already have a lot of our education, or our foundation for education and skills. And You can make it a game. It can be fun for the children. You can get a chore board. You can buy one. You can make one. Routines, schedules, people hate them, but they're the best thing in the world. Most people, I should say, hate them, but they're the best thing in the world to help us keep on track, but to also help us teach our children. And by the way, the parent has to be the role model. So if the parent's not organized or doesn't have good skills, they need to get the skills first, and then they can teach their children. And they need to work on the skills together. You know, the parent can't be disorganized and expect the child to be organized. So what happens when they grow up is one of two things. They continue on the disorganization, or they become fanatics and everything is, you know, they want perfection and everything is so organized and in its place. So one or two things can happen there.
So you're talking about rebelling? Or,
yeah, or just, you know, I grew up in a mess. I'm not going to live like this when I get my own place. You know, and so they become perfectionists.
Those are two very big extremes.
They are big extremes, but it happens.
And is there some kind of in-between medium what happens most of the time, or is there not?
No, not that I have come across some people will either be extremely organized at work and not at home, or extremely organized at home and not at work because of their upbringing. So it's like
that sounds like another deep subject. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. That sounds really deep. That sounds like another class or another session.
Yeah. And what happens also is, you know, how do we think? Are we right-brained or left-brained people? And do we follow logically like railroad tracks, or do we zip around the room or the office, you know, working on different things? You know, do we have ADD or ADHD is one of the big things now.
Well, pull me an example of this, because that sounds so... And so what we were talking about, Janet, is about that last point about people having displaying a different behavior at work than at home. Could you draw an example of that?
Well, some people, I've had clients where I've gone into their home and they're like, nobody would believe that I live like this, because at work I am the most neat and organized person. And there is a difference between neat and organized, just like tidiness and organized. And they never have their friends or family over because they're so embarrassed about how their house is. But a lot of people have the attitude, I've got to do it this way at work. You know, this is my breadwinner money. This is, you know, getting promotions. I've got to be timely and organized. But when I go home, by God, I'm just going to be whatever I want to be and do whatever I want to do because it's my house. So
that
it's an attitude.
Like a very deep type of behavior.
Yep.
What would you say to our listeners about that, or how do you address it in your classes or, you know, your website?
Well, I look at their I address it by looking at their belief system. What is their belief system? What are your attitudes? Why do you have those attitudes? And so, you know, it's really digging, and sometimes it doesn't come up right away. Like I had mentioned earlier, sometimes it takes 6 months, a year, maybe even longer for you to figure out, why do you act the way you do? Or why do you do the things you do? You know, we're constantly, all of us, are constantly self-sabotaging ourselves in some way or another. You might not call it that, but that's what you're doing. And so we look at their beliefs and their attitudes, and we can work on that through using EFT, emotional freedom techniques. We can move that energy around by tapping and get rid of the beliefs that we don't want anymore, and to change some of these habits and or emotions that we have related to our stuff.
That sounds extremely deep. And we're here with Janet Hall, and she does provide all these programs and speaking engagements as well as classes and consultations on feng shui and organizing. Her website's www.overhall.com. That's OVERHALL.com. Do visit the website and check out all the stuff on her website. I am Emmy Louie, and we'll be back and we'll talk more with Janet Hall. Okay, we won't go on a break. Let's talk more, Janet.
Okay.
Okay, so Janet, so you want to move on, continue on with this about the childhood upbringing?
Sure. Well, basically, you know, I can remember as a child, somebody says to me once, they said, after they hadn't seen me probably in 20, 25 years, and they said, "You're an organizer? Do you remember what a slob you were when you were growing up?" And I was like, "Well, I think that's a typical thing growing up. You throw your toys here, you throw your toys there, you throw your clothes there." But I remember I had a trunk, an old trunk from my father from when he was in the war, and I wanted to be a school teacher when I grew up. So I was so organized in that trunk. It had all of my teaching materials, you know, and that was my playtime. It was so my playtime was organized. But my clothes and stuff, just like a typical kid or teenager, always got thrown all over the place. And then what I found as I got older, especially when I had my children, that, you know, if you don't have it together, you can drive yourself and your family crazy. And sometimes this, you have to learn these skills or discover them, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. Because, again, not everything should be a cookie cutter. Everybody's life is different. And so when I had children, and I remember them throwing the toys all over. We had a toy room. You can mess this up as much as you want. I don't care. You know, it's the toy room. but the other parts of the house, we're going to keep organized. We're going to know where things are when we need them. And so that just kind of, you know, followed over. I didn't grow up with a lot of stuff, so it wasn't like I was used to having a lot of stuff around me. And what was around me was easy to find. And it had a place to live, you know, fingernail clippers are in the bathroom, you know, things like that. And it just makes life easier for you to go to live your life and to have more fun once you get organized, maintain schedules. Everybody knows what's going on. You pass that on to your children, and hopefully they pass it on to their children. Another thing that comes into play, especially with the big thing about our environment and going green. I mean, look at all the stuff we bring in our house, and what do we do with it? Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian, has a clip on YouTube. I actually have it on my blog now. And it's so funny. Talks about how our homes are really a garbage processing machine. Because we bring something into the home, we set it on the table, we ooh and all about it, we're so excited, we love it, we use it, and eventually, generally, those items make their way down to maybe the basement or the attic, and they live there because now we don't use it anymore, we don't love it anymore, we don't need it anymore, but we don't know what the heck to do with it. So that's a good clip for everybody to go listen to. It's real funny. But you know, we need to be more respectful, I think, of the earth and the environment when we bring things into our home. What's the value? What's the use? How long will it be used? Is it something that should be passed on versus just buying stuff because it's on sale and thinking you need it, or you're not organized and you already have the stuff at home, but you don't know where it is, so you got to buy some more of it. So not only are you hurting the environment, you're hurting your pocketbook, too.
That last point is you're bringing up things that probably a lot of us do, or all of us do, and we don't think about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Paula Langith Ryan, a good friend of mine, we used to go around the country speaking together. We wrote a book together about clutter and debt. She's a prosperity advisor.
And
we wrote a book together.
Mm-hmm.
The book is at clutteranddebt.com. And it's an e-book. It's like $9. And it's a daily read. It's like a 15-minute read. It has a little exercise. It's for 30 days. And each day it talks about either dealing with your stuff or dealing with your finances. We have exercises in there and tools and things like that. And it's a great little book that we wrote together because clutter and money do usually go hand in hand. I can't tell you how many people I've gone in their homes and they're like, they're shopaholics, either on the computer or from the television, and they have rooms full of stuff that they've never even opened. Now, that is an issue I deal with in Sober from Clutter because I think that is an issue that you don't really love yourself or you don't think other people love you, and so you go out and you start, well, I'll love myself this way. I'm going to buy this, this, and this. And so that's a little deeper, but it brings up a very interesting thing, how the clutter and the money and the credit card debt can go hand in hand also.
And you have quite a few e-books, don't you?
Yeah, I have about four, including the clutter and debt one. One is about bedroom clutter, getting rid of your bedroom clutter. One is just on organizing your closet in a weekend or less. I have one on computer clutter. I have one for parents for children, 70 tips to getting organized before and after school. And then I have a couple of courses that I do, multimedia courses. You get CDs and workbooks with that.
Oh, that sounds so exciting. So how do people go on and get your e-books? They just click on something?
Yes, they go to overhaul.com and just click on store. There's a little button at the top called store. It will take them to all the things that I've either created or that I sell for other people, and you'll see a link there for e-books.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to invite your listeners to go to the site because it is the beginning of a new year, a new journey, and new beginnings. We make those resolutions, and I have a lot of free things on my website just for January that can help them, hopefully help them, stay motivated and progress on their resolutions, such as there's an article called 8 Commitments for Starting the New Year. I wrote an article a long time ago called Goal Resolves to Get Organized, and that's combining your goals with your resolutions, how to put them together. I have a weekly time log. A personal life management contract. This is all free. It's on the homepage. It says 2008 New Beginnings. You click on that, it'll take you to all that stuff that you can download and help you. And that self-sabotage book I'll have on there in about 2 weeks as a download. So there's a lot of free stuff on my site that, if people aren't ready to, take out their pocketbooks or their wallets, there's a lot of other tools on the site that can help them.
So in many ways, what your website and your services offers is like a coaching to assist in people's willpower in a lot of ways, because it is the new year and most of us have made resolutions. And my question is, have you broken your resolution yet? And
I didn't
know what?
Make
I
any.
Can tell you. I can tell you from me, I already did. Okay, and it's only it's January 4th, so it's really. How do we stay on track, especially when we say that we're going to do something? Do we actually do it?
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, who are we going to hold accountable to doing it or not doing it? Who is going to hold us accountable? And
right,
you can do that.
That's where coaching comes in. I love coaching. I do it a lot over the phone, so it doesn't matter where you live. I have great fun doing it. My clients usually have a lot of aha moments, sometimes tears, and they get through it, and their life has changed. It's marvelous. I mean, I have two coaches myself.
I know. Everyone has their own doctor. I mean, doctors have their own doctors. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's
but we need that in life. We need that support. We need that knowledge. We need that accountability. We need that help.
Yes. And when you say people have their aha moments, can you give me one example of an aha moment that one of your clients have had
Well, even though I'm not a psychologist.
Well, you might as well be, right?
I've taken psychology.
We might as well have PhDs in psychology.
I know.
This is deeper in a lot of ways.
Well, actually,
because
I have one.
You have to decipher it when you go to people's homes. And psychologists, they're amazing. When you go into a psychologist and you talk to them, and that's probably extremely different. But when you go into a home, you've got to be the detective and figure this out.
Exactly. But even over the phone, I had the latest client I had that had an aha moment. She had been in counseling for 17 years. And somehow I dove deep, and I hit the nail on the head of why she kept all the stuff she kept. And she goes, I've never had a breakthrough in 17 years, and I've only talked to you for an hour. And that's what I do. And so we had to work on that. And it was an emotional thing. It was very emotional for her. And we worked on that through talking and through using EFT, emotional freedom techniques, tapping, known to some. I've got information about that on my website also. And you know, those are really nice aha moments when someone says, I've been into counseling for 17 years and talked to you for an hour and you figured it out already. And, you know, when you talked about the psychologist not going to your home, I mean, I really, really feel that what's missing a lot from our medical society, so to speak, is we used to have doctors come and do house visits, and we don't find that hardly at all. You're lucky if you
well,
can find
if we
that.
Well, if let me know. I want to know, okay?
Well, I think it's starting to come back in the...
It is. It
for some areas because they're
Where?
Finding out... I know a lot of vets are doing it, too, which I think
it's
kind of funny.
I mean, it's kind of books and, you know, in whatever, Amish land or something.
Yeah.
What else are we talking about?
Well, I've heard of a couple in my area. These are doctors that have, you know, they've gone the regular doctor route and nothing's working for their clients, so they start looking at new ways to help their clients, such as acupuncture, reflexology, you know, things like that. But a lot of them are realizing that they need to go into the home and see what they're living with. What are these people living with? Why are they always sick? You know, what's in their home? And so we start doing investigating like that. And I think a lot of your more open-minded doctors are figuring that out. And I'd like to see personally more and more of that because I think that's the big disconnect there is the doctor's in the office. He really doesn't know how you live. He only sees you for a couple of minutes, and he writes out a, you know, prescription for a drug that you probably don't need, you know. I think that's the big disconnect. And when somebody can go into the home and see how you're living, and, you know, you've done shows, I think, on biology. That's another great thing for someone to come in and do an inspection of your home. To see if you are sickly or if you are struggling, why? You know, if you're depressed, if you have clutter and disorganization all around you, you're going to be depressed. So you go to the doctor and you say, I'm depressed. He gives you a pill. And you go home and you might feel a little happier, but guess what? You still have all the clutter and disorganization around you, which when the pill wears off, you get depressed again. So it's kind of a vicious circle. And I think if the doctor had gone into the home and said, oh, wow, I can see why you might be a little overwhelmed or depressed because it is a big, big, big contributing factor to depression is clutter and disorganization.
Wow, that sounds good. And so here we have the next thing I wanted to talk about was the different scenarios that we were talking about, lifestyles and organization and different ages. And that organizing is different in when you're in a different lifestyle. For example, what happens when we have a situation where there's two adults and they have no children and they have a dog? What are some of the challenges of that scenario?
Well, again, it's going to be depend on the people and their personality. You know, the male might be not disorganized and the female might be. So, you know, when that happens, you can't go and just organize the other person for them because, they have to be ready. So it doesn't matter if they're single and have a dog or if they're married or if they have children. What matters is if they're on the same page and if they have the tools and the skills and the desire and the time, they make the time, they make it important, they make it a priority instead of putting it on the back burner to get their life in order and maybe even simplify. That's a big movement is people are simplifying. They're really breaking down their world and saying, you know, I really don't need all this stuff around me anymore. It's not feeding their spirit. It's overwhelming to them. So, you know, it's the lifestyle, how they were brought up, their attitude, their beliefs, all of that comes into play. No matter if it's an older person or a person with five kids or no kids.
What about pets?
I can tell you when I went to...
a scenario? Give me an example.
Well, I can tell you, I went to feng shui, this couple's house, an older couple, and they had a dog, so the dog was their baby. as most of our pets are babies, especially if our children are grown. And when I wanted to recommend to rearrange their living rooms, their gathering room space, because nobody could sit and talk to each other, the furniture was so far apart, it was a very large space, they would not take my recommendation because that was like the dog run in the house. So, yes, our pets can control us and take control over our lives. And, you know, they have toys and bones, and I tell my dog, I'm, you know, sick of stepping on your toys, and I got to move them around. But, yeah, it can add, especially an animal, can add to the chaos if you're already living in chaos.
Well, actually, I mean, not that I'm a pet expert, but there are certain pets and the size of their pets that create some different scenarios. Isn't that correct? And do people take those considerations when they do adopt or get that pet?
You know, I don't know that many people do think about stuff like that, because if they want a pet and they fall in love with a pet, they really sometimes, you know, love is blind. They don't think of...
That could be a source of some conflict, right?
Absolutely. And a source of chaos, a big source.
Yeah, that could be, especially if the... Because the space requirements of dogs and cats are very different, and if the dog is larger, it's a very different scenario. And then if some pets have their, you know, they make noise and all.
Yeah, and what about?
I thought I would just touch on that.
Yeah, and if you bring home a puppy, Emmy, if you've got a puppy, you bring home the puppy. The puppy's teething, and it grows. But if you've got all this stuff sitting out, guess what? The puppy's either going to poop or pee on it or eat it. And then your clutter is now way out of control because the puppy's running all over the place and doing all that stuff. So, yeah, if you're going to bring an animal, especially a dog, I think, into your space, you really need to get it, you know, pup-proofed and organized and decluttered and set some ground rules.
That sounds like another show. That sounds like another show because... Or, you know, another book, because these pets are an extension of that person psychologically. And if if you're messing with the pet, you're kind of doing something to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, you know, we're just opening all these cans of worms of psychology and all that. And do you talk about more of that with dogs, or is that just one example in your class?
That's just an example. It could be anything. I haven't had a lot of clients that had pets, actually, that were disorganized. It's usually, you know, either a single person or a person with children. The pets don't even show up, usually. Or if they have a pet, it might be a hamster or something. Because they realize, most of the clients that I've had, they realize that they can't handle... like another child because of the chaos already in their life. So that's a good reason to get organized if you want to have a pet, you know. Now, you also asked me about, like, children. And I've noticed my clients that have one child sometimes are worse than the ones that have a couple of children because parents tend to overindulge the one child. And so do the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles. And, you know, the child sometimes needs their own house for all their stuff.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to be totally biased on this because I have one child, so it's going to be hard for me to talk about this without getting involved in the conversation myself.
Uh-huh.
And tell me more about that, why having one child could be even more more problematic than having a whole bunch of children or more than one child.
Well, I think especially if it's known that the people are not going to have any more children, that they're just going to have the one child, the parents themselves and usually the grandparents and the aunts and uncles start, you know, showering this child with gifts and presents and toys, and they don't need for anything. They're like the rich person that doesn't really need anything. Because they're constantly being given stuff that they might not even need or want or play with. And it's teaching them, again, bad habits and, of course, you know, pocketbook habits, wallet habits, money habits. And so with all this stuff, I mean, I get calls all the time from this one client that has one child. And it's like, oh, I need help organizing her bedroom again. well, quit buying her stuff, you know. And you just walk into the home, and it's like one child, toys, stuff, clothes everywhere. It's like the parents don't even live there. It's just the child because she gets overindulged, and the parents allow it.
What about with let's say, with three children around the same age? How does that work if there's, you know, what are the dynamics of that? What are the challenges of that? If three,
that,
you know,
can be crazy. That can be crazy. I have done three boys. In Jersey, I went and lived with a family for a four-day weekend to help them get organized. And one of the boys had Tourette's. One of the boys had ADD. I can't remember what the third boy had. But they all had a situation. And the mother was an eBay person, so she needed a space to sell her stuff and to contain her stuff until she sold it. And the children, because of their illnesses, like the Tourette's one, I can't remember, he had something else wrong with him, but he constantly carried toys with him, backpacks full of toys around the house, and then he would dump them out, and he'd go fill it back up again. And so this vicious cycle was going on all day long and into the evening. And so what we did was we sorted through stuff. We decided what's going to be kept. The children helped. We played a game with the children. If I ever hear the song SpongeBob again, I think I'll go crazy. But that's all they played all the time I was there. But we played a game with the children on picking up and where things live. You know, you pick up the cars, you pick up the blocks. You pick up the big thing at their house was those McDonald's toys that you get in the food packages. And so that was fun for the children, and she had never done that before. So we got the children involved, and then we got them involved in helping make decisions on what they really wanted to keep and what they were willing to give to other children that didn't have any toys. And I think it was around the holidays, so that was a great time to do that lesson with them. And to what I've heard, that she does this now every year with them before the holidays get started. They go through all their toys, all their clothes, shoes, everything, and decide what they don't really need or doesn't fit them anymore, or they don't play with, and they donate it to charity for other children.
That sounds like a lot of things that you're talking about.
And a lot of things.
So much knowledge on the organizing part.
Yeah, and boys are always fun, too. But, yeah, with three children, it can be a little, it can be worse or better than the one child scenario. It depends. But with whether you have one child or 10 children, routines and schedules and you being a role, the parent being a role model for them is going to be the best gift that they can give their children. The best gift.
That sounds like it. Because it's a habit, it's a day-to-day habit.
Right. And you know what to expect. You know where things belong, and you know what to expect. It takes away the fear of the unknown.
So what about people who are in different scenarios when it comes to, like, actually, we're almost out of time, but when do we decide to do things for ourselves versus hiring someone else?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Some people can. Some people can do it all on their own. Sometimes they might need a little direction. Sometimes people will come and say, look, I just need an hour of you talking to me. Tell me the process of how do I sort, how do I organize, how do I declutter. I have a system called 5 W's of organizing, a teaser and a tickle, and that takes them through making decisions and how they sort through their stuff. If you sign up for my newsletter, if the listeners sign up for my newsletter, they get a copy of the teaser of how they can sort through their stuff. But what happens is, I lost my train of thought.
No, your teaser and your tickler on
the
your website.
The teaser and tickler.
You hire someone.
Yeah, the teaser is an acronym for sorting through all of your stuff. And so what happens is some people will call and they say, well, just tell me how to do it. I think I can do it. Other people will call. I tell them how to do it, and then they'll call me back and say, I can't do this by myself. I don't even know where to start. I've got too much stuff. And then other people, they know right off the bat that they can't do it by themselves and they need help. They know their personality. They know in 10 minutes that they're saying, oh, I can't do any more of this. So it's going to, again, be up to the person. If they've got ADD or OCD, then they probably can't, well, I know they can't do it on their own if they've got one of those diseases. And, you know, I think the number one reason is that people get help is they don't know where to start. They're afraid to get rid of stuff. They're afraid they're going to make a mistake. That's a biggie. They're afraid they're going to make a mistake. And so they don't do anything. They just leave everything where it is. They're afraid that if they let go of something that they might need it someday. Or you get the, I'll keep this just in case. And I say, well, just in case of what? You know? Well, you got to give me a reason. So if you know your personality that you can't do it alone, that's when you should seek help, either in person, on the phone, or read a book or an article to see if that can help get you started.
Anything else? I know we're almost out of time, Janet Hall.
Oh, wow. I could talk about this stuff all day long.
Mm-hmm. You can visit Janet's website at www.overhaul.com, O-V-E-R-H-A-L-L. And there's a lot of information in there, and Janet does do speaking engagements, consultations. Anything else, Janet?
Well, you know, what I'd like your listeners to really know, especially the men out there, a lot of women do need help. They might just need a jump start, or they might really be so overwhelmed that they need a professional to come in and help them. And a lot of husbands, unfortunately, don't think they need help and think they'd be able to do it because their mom maybe could do it or something. And, you know, clients used to hide me from their husbands or their spouse, and I won't work with somebody if they're hiding me anymore. I decided I didn't feel good about that. But a lot of females will hide their helpers because they're afraid their husband will get upset or say, my mother could do it, why can't she?
That sounds another deep topic.
Yeah.
It has to do with identification with being a homemaker.
Right. So men out there, if your wife or your spouse or your friend or your partner needs help, support them. And women, if you need help, sit down and talk with them. Let them know what's going on in your life. They might not have a clue. And talk to them about how you might need help and what's affordable and workable for you both.
And maybe
and it's good if the couple, I'm sorry, it's good if the couple can work at it together, too.
And that's why you're a minister, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. That's why I'm a minister.
That's why there's a minister, because there's a lot of social, psychological, spiritual things going on, and it's all mushed together, and you're here to sort it out.
Yeah, and my goal, I see my role and my goal is not just to help people, but to help them look at how they're thinking and, again, their attitudes and their beliefs and which ones might need to be changed or to question those attitudes, beliefs, or habits.
Yes, and this comes out of just visiting people's homes. Isn't that amazing?
Just visiting or talking to them over the phone.
Isn't that amazing? So Janet Hall, and she's a feng shui consultant and organizer and many other things, minister and all that, energy worker. And thank you for being on the show, Janet, and
thank you for your patience
and all that. And good luck to you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Emmy, and the same here. Good luck with your show this year.
Thank you very much, and I'm Emmy Louie. You can visit my archives at www.emyloue.com. It's been another great show. I'll see you next week, and you take care, folks. Namaste.